Noel, the management of KUCI. Today we're going to be talking with a professor who's in trouble in Amsterdam for supporting teen sexuality. In the spirit of free speech, we are talking with him. He's an advocate of alternative sexualities, and we'll hear what he has to say. Coming up, this interview with Gert Hekma, who is embroiled in a controversy in Amsterdam, getting death threats even, as he speaks out on issues that are not often heard in mainstream media, let alone alternative media. This is Dan Zhang with Subversity here on KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. The opinions expressed on the show are not necessarily those of the Regents of the University of California, nor the management of KUCI. Who's a gay studies professor at the University of Amsterdam. Welcome.
Welcome. It's a pleasure to speak to you here.
You had been embroiled in the middle of a controversy. Maybe you could give us some background.
Well, we have a gay parade in Amsterdam every year in the first weekend of August. It's a canal parade, and there are two organizations competing for organizing it. There's an old organization, the Gay Business Association, which has organized for 10 years. And now there's a new organization since last year, the Pro-Gay. And the first organization was very unhappy that they have lost their license. And the other organization is mainly put also in place by the city hall, by the municipality, because they got a little bit annoyed by the guy, Hasib De Haan, who was the original organizer, because he was always scandal-mongering and was sort of financial management was not very clear.
Mm-hmm.
And so this year, there was also, they started to speak, I guess, about a month ago, about a gay and lesbian youngsters boat. And the first time they mentioned this youngsters boat, it was clearly said it was organized by a youngster himself, Danny, and he was held by the COC, and they said I should be in the recommendation committee. Well, and that's where the turmoil started, because at some point the former organizer, Sip De Haan, apparently sent to the media a message that this Gert Hekma, who is in the recommendation committee of this board, and who is also involved in this pro-gay organization that's organizing perhaps this year the canal parade. This man, gay Gert Hekma, he's also someone who is a defender of pedophilia, and he has made a statement somewhere, and he took a quote out of context from an interview I did with a pedophile journal, where I said more or less that it should be good to force children to have sex.
So,
and then a pandemonium started as it came into the media.
COC is the COC is the Dutch
National Gay Lesbian Organization, yeah.
And so you were talking about this. You don't mean literally to force them, or what?
Now the context was more or less like this. So I was discussing education. And I said, in education, everything happens with a little bit of force. Yeah, you have to go to school, you have to eat in a proper way, you have to learn to swim. And so when it comes to sex, I said in this interview, force is completely unimaginable, although it might be a good idea to help them and give them a little push and perhaps to force them. Yeah. So I guess this force was certainly meant with the idea of gentle force. So as it always goes in education, but this quote taken out of context, it was created a very bad reputation for me.
Force implies more violence, I guess.
What, say again?
Force implies violence, no?
No, I would say gentle force. So you're giving a push, you're giving a kind of stimulation. So the idea is force is always used against sex when it comes to children. And my idea is we should also help, and it's very necessary also in the context of the Netherlands, it's always considered to be a liberal country. that we help them on their way. And so this boat was so interesting because we have an age of consent in the Netherlands of 16, and these gay youngsters, they were under 16 because it was a boat for the other 16 people, had they showed with this boat how horrible this age of consent law is, because these kids have no place to go. Had they can't go to a bar, had all the gay and lesbian institutions refused them access, and so even some websites don't take kids under the age of 16. So at this time in Holland, had kids come out at ages like 11, 12, 13, 14, and perhaps even earlier, and they can't go nowhere. They can't go anywhere. Yeah?
Between
Yeah, that was a big problem, and the boat was a good a reminder of this problem.
The initiative was came from Danny, who's like 14, but he came out when he was 12 to his parents. And so did you know him before this happened?
I had nothing to do with this boat. I didn't know Danny, so it was completely so. But because this was this committee of recommendation was mentioned, and I was the only person mentioned of being member of this committee.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had to seek the hand first start to go to the mayor of Amsterdam to say, well, this is a very bad idea, because had these young guys who are very inexperienced and so innocent, you know, the other argumentations that you have about children, and these children are being, exposed to all this flaunting of homosexuality with this parade, yeah? Now, that was the reason, of course, that Danny wanted to join the parade, to see all this flaunting of homosexuality. And also, you have to realize, when we have this parade in Amsterdam, about half of the people who look at it, it's straight people. And a lot of kids come also with straight people. I guess also young gay and lesbian kids. So and these kids are always present, and they always enjoy the flaunting of homosexuality. And now with this boat, had this Siep de Haan of the Gay Business Association start to have all this moral problems, yeah, and he convinced the mayor of it also, because the mayor at some point said that he thought it was not a good idea. He changed his opinion later on again, but at that point he was joining in this moral commotion, yeah?
Yeah, and the moral commotion included the gay group that supports him. They criticize you, right? Even the COC?
What happened, in fact, also, there is this pro-gay, which is the organization that's going to organize probably this year the parade. The municipality created an initiative group, so of the various groups of the gay lesbian community, and they want to make this weekend in August a little bit broader than only dancing and drinking, which was always the main thing happening. So they want to have also academic and cultural and sportive events, and so I was invited to come to see to the academic events. And then I guess 3 weeks ago on a Monday, when Siep de Haan had probably sent an email giving my quote and citing me as a co-organizer of this boat and this parade, and also saying that I was a defender of pedophilia, had some journalist phones, and so there was one major journal that phoned and that made a very good interview with me, but it was published the other day in the Volkskrant. But the local television, they had a debate on it on the Friday before, but on this Monday they asked me to defend myself against severe or horrible accusations. Well, so I could not say no, I don't do so, but so they interviewed me and I explained my position, that the boat has nothing to do with pedophiles, that I am perhaps pro-pedophile, but that it doesn't affect the importance of the boat, and that the boat is very important, that this kind of stuff, and that as an academic I have written always about homosexuality, including pedophile stuff. So they took this interview, so that the interview was okay, but they published on their website a little note, the controversial professor of gay and lesbian studies, Gerd Hekma, who is also a defender of pedophilia, has said we should force children to sex. He is also involved in this boat, or it's remarkable that we have this youngsters boat this year.
Oh.
And so, and this little message, this little news item, was then subsequently spread as a virus on the internet. So many websites, so both gay websites and right-wing websites, took this little quote Although some of them had even the interview of this pedophile journal, which was about a book I published 2 or 3 years ago. And so, this quote, well, had made all this, a lot of people in Holland furious. Yeah, and on a Tuesday morning, they started at 9 o'clock. Publishing this item on various websites, and half an hour later, I got my first death threat.
On this website,
an enormous amount of reactions of people who said, "Hang him, kill him, murder him, death to this person. He should lose his job. He's a crazy guy." Hundreds of these kind of messages appeared.
Hundreds.
Hundreds. Yeah.
How many were sent to you?
Well, there's 30 sent to me. The first one run like this: "We will push you through your throat and then kick you to death." Or it was in the I form. So it was a guy who said, "I will do this to you, and you're an evil character." Yeah, that was the end of it. So I had about five. It's more or less made clear. There's also people who sent them from their own email address, apparently, and said that they should kill me, or they wanted to kill me. Yeah.
Gosh, so the school supported you, right?
What?
Did the school support you in filing a police complaint?
The first thing I did, because I guess this is not completely abnormal in Holland. There's, I guess, several people who get death threats. So I took it, I was a little bit shocked, of course, certainly seeing the amount of this kind of hate mail on this internet site. And so I asked a colleague what to do, and then I sent the first email I got to the dean of my department, and he then found the head of the security of the University of Amsterdam. So we had to talk about it, and he informed the police of it, and then later I went to the police to make an official complaint.
Dude.
And so what happened? So because I was a little bit, at the Siep de Haan of a gay business association, used this interview I gave and my his knowledge of my position on the age of consent and children and sexuality and pedophilia had to demonize me and to create a scandal. So he was always seen as a scandal monger, and now he wanted to show that this other organization was also a better organization, having this kind of foolish people like me in their organization.
So
he succeeded very well, because after all this turmoil, at both the COC and this pro-gay, and the municipality decided to send me a letter, and I guess on Wednesday they sent me a letter to say that I was in fact no member of this pro-gay, which is true, but I was neither a member anymore of this initiative group. So I was stepped in the back by both the COC and the municipality.
Is there a different definition in Holland of pedophilia? Because I know the media lumps pedophilia and other sexual practices together, and in the psychiatric definition of pedophilia is like attraction to someone before the age of puberty. So usually it's taken to before 12, maybe.
Attraction. I guess you have these different terms, ephebophilia and pedophilia, because the age of consent is on 16, and most people will think about relation between someone above this age and under this age as being a pedophile.
Oh, I see.
That's, I would say, the common idea. The people who sent all this hate mail to me, I don't take very serious. I don't think they have any idea about homosexuality or pedophilia, because a lot of this hate mail went also along the lines, I'm against a youngster's boat, I'm against gay boats, I'm against gay parades in general. So most of these people, they made no differentiation between all these types.
Is it the religious right? Are they the religious right people? Or?
Well, this is not the religious right. No, certainly not. This is neither there's no, it's not Muslim nor Christian. I would say it's largely right-wing Dutch people. So, this website is largely visited by Dutch fortunists. Yeah,
there was a, you mentioned fortunists. He actually was killed. This is a
Pim Fortuyn, yeah. So Pim Fortuyn was interesting, because Pim Fortuyn, he had always this statement that people should be allowed to say whatever they thought, yeah?
Yeah.
And he was also a screaming queen, so he was an utterly open gay guy, and he also took the case of pedophiles. So it was very funny to see that All these people who very much adore Pim Fortuyn as a right-wing person wants to get rid of all these immigrants. That they had no knowledge that Pim Fortuyn, their hero, was himself a defender of pedophilia and Brongersma, the leader of the pedophiles of the past in Holland.
Oh, I see. Yeah. So there's some contradictions there.
It's full of contradictions. Yeah.
Do you see this as? I mean, you're a historian. Do you see this as having happened? Is it the influence of some events in the West, other countries, or is it a local thing? I mean, I know there's always been a campaign against pedophilia in the West, recently at least.
So I guess since 20 years or since 25 years, there's, a growing tendency to demonize people, pedophiles. Sure, but now it's not controversial anymore. I remember in the late 90s that intellectual journals started to say that this is a topic we can't discuss anymore. So like the NRC, which is a liberal journal, they said pedophilia is bad, so points. Yeah, so they had no... And so my point is, by and large, so I guess this... that we have to deal with a society that becomes always more sexual. And so we should also deal with the sexuality of these young people, like these gay boys who have no place to go and who are growing up in a mostly heteronormative environment. And so we should enable them to become self-conscious and autonomous sexual citizens. So we should learn them about sex instead of forbidding them. And if these kids want to have sex, I guess it's, well, some of these kids will have sex with other kids. So it's, but some kids like better to have adults. Yeah, so it's, so I guess we have to deal with this kind of issue. And I guess a lot of people reacted also to this point positively, yeah?
Yeah, Holland actually has a law, right, that says that if it's the young person is between 12 and 16, it should go before a judge or magistrate or something, and decide whether they should press charges if there's any kind of intergenerational.
That law has disappeared. So I guess the age of consent was 12, and between 12 and 16, it was an article of complaint. Oh. If there was a complaint about a sexual relation, it should be prosecuted. But now the law is on 16, so they changed the law in 2002, so 5 years ago.
Oh, so what happens if it's between 12 and 16? Does it go, do they investigate that or first, or they automatically punish?
Well, there's in all over the European Union, there's also a kind of idea that if the difference of age between the two people is less than 5 years, there's no legal prosecution.
Oh, less than 5 years.
I would say in other cases, there will be legal prosecution, in any case.
Oh,
there's a lot of demonization going on. So as soon as a neighborhood gets to know about the presence of a pedophile, there's always an uproar,
Do they also, in America, they've been kicking people out of their homes?
Yeah, also in the Netherlands it happened,
Oh, and
you can't do it legally, but the people simply do it. And the police is not very strong on this kind of issues.
How about the police also put up websites of... convicted sex offenders. Do they do that in Holland?
No, in Holland they don't do so. There has been a private person who did so, but it's, they've removed the website because it's not allowed in Holland to name the criminal.
So do you see Netherlands as becoming less, do you see your country as becoming less liberal?
Well, yes, I would say they've become less liberal about in the last 10 years, But of course it depends on the kind of sexual preference you're talking about. So I guess for the gays and lesbians, it has gone upwards. And we have the same-sex marriage. I guess there's now a general feeling that gays and lesbians should be allowed to live as they like. Although I guess this is still ambiguous because they should not be too... visible as gays and lesbians at the same time. So I would say there's at a gay and lesbian side that maybe there is some progress, but there's also and it's ambiguous because there's also a lot of still continuing problems around gays and lesbians in schools or, for example, in neighborhoods with in working class neighborhoods and ethnic minority neighborhoods. So that not, but I guess when it comes to pedophilia, it becomes very problematic. And so I'm living in the red light district. And there's the prostitution has been legalized in the Netherlands about 5 years ago, 2000. Yeah, 2000 it was legalized. But since there's a lot of people who talk about the trafficking of women, or for example, or all kinds of violence in red light district, and so some people have said it should be better perhaps to close down the red light district to get rid again of this legalization of prostitution. So it's a little bit a complicated picture.
Yeah, yeah, and also do you see the gay groups as being themselves, the gay established groups, as being more accommodationist, I guess, to the state?
That's very clear, for example, in this case of this bow, that although this boat points to the problem of this age of consent laws, the president of the COC made very clear in statements that he is not opposing the age of consent law. So when this law was coming up from the age was coming up from 12 to 16, the COC protested. Now they don't protest anymore.
Do you see?
So they have to deal with these young kids, but then they will present these kids as kids without a sexuality. They have a sexual, they have a homophile preference, you might say, but it's not including a sexual life. Yeah.
So it's like an identity thing.
It's an identity thing. They allowed identity, but not the sexual pleasures.
Not sexual practice.
Yeah.
It would seem to me be up to the young person to decide.
I would say also, because therefore I'm so much in favor of giving better sex education, because the sex education, I guess in the United States you're very happy with our kind of sex education because it includes all kinds of information on biology, on contraceptives, on pregnancies, on venereal disease. But at the same time, I'm always saying it's too much biological. They should give sex education. It's much more cultural. It should much more have information about all kinds of sexual desires, about all kinds of, how do you seduce people, have seduction, about how to relate to other people. So I guess it's to make these young kids sexually conscious of themselves, of other people, of sexual history, for example. That kind of topic should include it in general education, yeah.
Do they teach anything in the schools about homosexuality?
Now, I would say that there's some schools, because in Holland it's very much up to the schools what they do. They have to do sex education. But I was once in a committee on sex education in multicultural schools or multi-ethnic schools. And even a progressive guy said, well, it should be nice if we succeed in discussing heterosexuality. And so if we are able to pass through heterosexuality, we should then perhaps be able to also discuss homosexuality. So it means some schools will not discuss homosexuality in the end, yeah.
Do you see this war on terrorism as affecting the way the Netherlands is dealing with sexuality?
So in my opinion, so I guess this downward trend when it comes to sexual issues, as I said, it's more complicated, but I would say it started in Holland before the war on terrorism. So we had the first major case. Now, they came already in the 1990s, but they continued very much already before the war on terrorism. It was 9/11, but we had in the beginning of that same year, we had a Muslim imam who spoke out against gays and lesbians, and he said Europeans are even worse than pigs and dogs because they allow same-sex marriage. And that created a kind of furor in the Netherlands, with the prime minister and all kinds of ministers and parliamentarians, and the whole population shocked by it, yeah.
So do you, as an academic facing this situation of death threats, is that, how do you feel about it personally?
Well, I would say that you see it first, I was shocked about it, it was very unpleasant. And then I had the support of the university. I was very happy that they allowed me to continue to speak out. And also because also the university got a lot of hate mail and the suggestions that I should be removed from my position. But, so that was pleasant for me, and also that the security officer came. I guess at some point, so I guess on the Saturday after it started, so I was able to turn the table. So I said, so I guess I have been a victim of these competing groups. I've been a victim of my own group because they stepped me in the back. And I said it was a very bad faggot fight. but now we should sort of rather forget about it and continue with, I guess, this discussion about sex in the city, the sexuality of young people, this kind of topics. Yeah, and so I guess that so then in the first place I got an enormous amount of support from all kinds of friends and colleagues and unknown people. So I got dozens of support mails, and I got also in the end the gay and lesbian youngsters both came there. They also decided in the, that it was a good idea to have such a boat. And also this idea to have a debate on this issue. So I saw on the 1st of March there will be a debate on sex in the city, and I will participate in it. Also the mayor of Amsterdam, that is Mr. Cohen.
Oh, wow.
And today there is in the main journal of the main newspaper of Amsterdam, there's also a one-page article on what my opinion is on these issues.
How about the are you teaching right now in classes right now?
Yeah.
How about your students? Have you had any reaction?
We have about 130 students in different classes, and there was one student with an ethnic minority name and who said she was a feminist, who complained very much about my teaching, and she said I was an evil person.
Mm-hmm.
And so the last week the classes started, so it was the first week, and I'd never seen this girl, but she complained very much about me. She sent emails to other students, and I guess some students have skipped my classes for this reason, but there was also a student who got this email who said, well, I eagerly want to follow Mr. Hekma's classes.
Mm-hmm.
But it had also a counterproductive effect for this student. And I would say a lot of it, because the students have seen only this quote of mine, yeah?
Yeah.
So they had also the idea that, how should we deal with this case? And also I've given in all these classes extensive explanations of my position on this issue and what happened to me. And I guess most students, I would say they did not engage yet in a discussion about these issues, but about a scandal, but I would say they're able to do so.
Do they, do you have a bodyguard? Or do
no,
you
no. No, I guess there's a doorman at our building, and he will take a little bit note, and it's there's unknown people who are asking for me, this kind of thing, yeah.
So the university supports you, basically. So there's no move.
I guess it's mainly the dean of my department. I guess the other higher level, they're a little bit afraid of this kind of scandal.
Oh, sure.
And so the university journal, they want to have an article on this issue, but and it was completely ready, and it was going off to print, and then they said, well, we should not have this article. So they're a little bit afraid of this kind of topic. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But the dean of my department, he has also been very much in favor of my freedom of expression.
Yeah, maybe on the quote, I saw an article where you said you had, your quote is saying you were actually thinking about writing something on Marquis de Sade, and so that's maybe, is that, had an influence on how you wrote that? Original,
yeah, indeed. So I would say that this idea of force was certainly influenced by the Marquis de Sade, yeah. Because if you read, for example, the Bedroom Philosophers, which I'm reading with students in class, so there's also this idea that you should push people a little bit. There's this lesbian relationship, and the younger girl was to learn about sex, and they very much stimulate her in experimenting with sex, yeah. In fact, I had an article in a book in Germany about the forerunners of the gay and lesbian movement.
Yeah.
And so I had an article on Marquis de Sade as a forerunner of the gay and lesbian movement, and I had similar quotes in this article. Then there was a queer journal that wanted to have one of the articles from this book as a pre-publication in the journal. Then the men who edited it, they proposed my article, and now the same happened more or less. So I guess the right wingers are opposed to it, but also these radical queers are highly opposed to my suggestions.
How come?
They took the article, that they first took the article, but then they had read the article, they had an enormous, I guess there were also dozens of mails coming in, but it was not yet out, the journal, so they, before it came out, they removed the article again from the journal, the Geeky.
Oh, this is similar to what happened in the U.S. with Journal of Homosexuality. The publishers actually went in over the head of the editor and removed some stuff. On the
it's
same
funny
topic.
Because I've also I've been the book of Robert Aldrich. Have you seen this book?
No.
This is a gay life, gay culture. It's edited from Thames and Hudson and Rizzoli or so. It's in the United States.
Mm.
And in this article, in this book that I do the last 25 years for this book, so there's, I guess, 14 authors who they discuss Asia and Africa and the Middle East, all kinds of periods, the classical age, and I do the last 25 years, and I say also some things about well, boy love, and well, I guess a month before the scandal broke out, the Times Literary Supplement had a review of the book. And Davenport Himes, the reviewer, said about my article that Hekma dares to say some unsayable truths about this issue. And he has another interesting analysis of this this topic. And, well, I didn't know it was so unsayable, in fact. Yeah. And so it was so interesting because this quote that they so much reproached against me, it is for 3 years on the net already. So it was really very much a created scandal.
How about in terms of books that are the books that you wrote or you edited? You've written over a dozen books, right? Are they able to get? I mean, they haven't been. Have they been? Are they able to get into libraries and stuff?
Yeah, there's no problem because I don't write about pedophilia itself. So I guess it's some of my articles or books. It's a kind of undercurrent or more important current, no, but it's not, no, I've never had a problem except for this geeky article I referred to.
In terms of the reaction of gay academics, do you feel that there's a better reception among queer studies folks?
It was interesting because I sent out a letter to some of my colleagues and friends in both in the Netherlands and in outside the Netherlands, and I was surprised to see how many people had gone into this kind of trouble because of their work. Yeah, so I guess Igor Kohn in Moscow, he had even a fake bomb apparently put before his apartment because he was against a higher age of consent. So Hennig Beck had a book about men and women in which he also says that all this fuss about pedophilia is nonsense. That he was really, he was reproached on this issue by even ministers on television who said it's scandalous that we have a professor in the University of Copenhagen who says this kind of things.
Who was that?
René Scherrer. He's an 85-year-old philosopher. His house has been raided by the police in France. You have in Chondacheco in the United States. And we have had before Brongersma and Theo Samford. We have also been in deep trouble because of this issue. Yeah.
Who was the one in Copenhagen?
It's Hennig Berg. He made a book about when men meet. This is a Danish book about men and women. And he was also very much felt and reprimanded by all kinds of people.
Usually it's just one or two people who are really upset about this and they go on a web campaign, I guess.
Yeah.
It's not.
But in my case, it was hundreds of people. And also some people who supported me and had also a student coming on this website who said, well, he's one of the best professors we have.
Wow.
But there were people coming to my defense that the general climate, but I have not seen all these websites. I was looking today on the Google and looked up what kind of. So I saw all kinds of different websites that I hadn't seen before that also discussed the case.
Yeah, that.
You're listening to Savistri on KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. The opinions expressed on the show are not necessarily those of the Regents of University of California, nor the management of KUCI. We're talking with Professor Gert Hekma from the University of Amsterdam.
Yeah, I saw some too. Do you see that their typology of sexuality is seems to me between perpetrator and survivor, and victim and survivor? You can perpetrator, or you can be a victim, and then a survivor. It seems there's no pleasure in any of this sex.
But I guess this is also, I was saying all the time, so there is a lot of sexual relations between kids and adults, and between adults themselves, that are fine. So I guess they should not have a law of consent, age of consent laws, but they should have a law about the abuse of power, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's of course sometimes difficult to establish what is abuse of power because it's very difficult, but it's well, I guess that should be the main line. So I have had also an email from a guy in Portland, a former student of mine, who said, when I was a 12 years old kid, I forced an adult man to have sex with me.
Mm.
So I guess the force can also go the other way.
Yeah.
And he was very happy to have this sex. And he said it was had the best experience of my puberty. And he said, and he is now himself a kid who's in a school in Portland. And I guess this kid is, 11, 12 years of age, something along those lines. I found it very interesting what he said. He said, in this class of my son, there was another kid who changed from female to male during this school year.
Yeah.
Or the opposite, so I forgot which direction it went. And he said, had the problem, so most of the kids in the school, he said, are more or less queer because they found it funny. They were interested in this case. They had no major problems with this kid. But the major problem, so I guess they were progressive teachers, they wanted to appease the situation, but the main problem came from the parents, yeah?
Yeah.
So I would say, we as adults should be much more respectful of these kids and not oblige them in this male-female dichotomy and into this heterosexual normativity, yeah? That should be my main line in this issue.
Do you see in terms of queer academics who do queer studies, do you see them as taking a supportive stance on these issues? Do they teach?
I guess. I would say that there's an important group of queer academics who take a supportive part. So I guess there's, but I guess it's difficult because I remember that Halperin and Trumbach and Theo van der Meer of Amsterdam and I guess Craig Williams of New York. There was a group of people wanted to. I guess in 1998. They had a conference in Amsterdam at the Gay Games, and they wanted to make a book about adult-minor relationships from a historical anthropological point of view. Now, this book has never appeared. It's now 9 years later, so I guess there is certainly a support in the queer studies community, but I guess it's difficult to get the kind of stuff you want to publish on this kind of issue. It's difficult to publish. Judith Levine had also problems to find a publisher in the United States for her books harmful to minors. And I guess there's a lot of people who are afraid to touch this topic. So I guess Theo Samford, who was attacked because he was a pro-pedophile, so to say, according to the press, he completely he does as if he never touched the topic. Yeah.
I know that encyclopedias have come out. I mean, it's quite in thing now to publish books about gay culture and gay history.
Yeah.
And it's very popular, queer studies and that kind of stuff. But a lot of times there's nothing in it about this issue.
Yeah. I guess it's often looked over, or people rather don't want to touch the topic. But in the Netherlands, when you discuss this kind of topic, I guess the gay movement gets always very angry. So I guess the gay crumb, it's the major gay journal in the Netherlands, if you... there is a lot of so I would say if you look at the history, most of gay history it's public sex and pedophile stuff. Yeah, if you think about Oscar Wilde, André Gide, the Marquis de Sade himself, Gerard Reve in the Netherlands, Jacob Israël de Haan, and there's a very long I guess a lot of the major figures of gay history, they had a very strong interest in guys under the age of 16. And the homo monument in Amsterdam, it's also another example. You have this famous quote on this homo monument. It says, such a desire for friendship. And this is from a poem by Jacob Israël de Haan. This is a famous poet in the Netherlands, very interesting poet. But this is in a poem directed to, I guess, a fisherman of 13 years of age. So it's also a pedophile a poem. Should we remove the homo monument now because it's too much of a pedophile monument? I guess there's still some books like this Robert Aldrich book about gay life and gay culture. There's a lot of pedophile stuff in it.
Yeah, look
at. Of course,
at,
it's also the gay and lesbian community wants to see. And they have removed also the Netherlands from all the parades, all the pedophile groups.
And also look at even in the U.S., the Walt Whitman and Allen Ginsberg,
they all
wrote about the love across different
across
age groups.
And I have a very simple explanation. So I'm always saying when it comes to sexual relationships in the past, so I should say certainly before 1900, perhaps even 1950, most sexual relations are based on the idea of inequality. And so it was man, woman, it was queen, trade, it was boy, man, it was male prostitutes, high class, low class, it was all of gender, age and class differences. And since the 1950s, I guess there's a trend that sexual relations should be equal. And so I guess the gays and lesbians and same-sex marriage much, very much profit from this move towards equality. And there's also people like Badinter in France or Giddens in England who think this is the real good future for us. And but at the same time, it means that a lot of sexual relations that are unequal are getting demonized. And I guess the main example is pedophilia, but prostitution is another sexual practice that may be on the way out. There's a very big stress on equality.
But it's
and I think this is a very bad development, because I guess why should you not value also, I guess there's always power in sexual relations, why should you have this moral stance on it?
So
that
you're
a bad thing or an evil thing.
But you're for inequality.
No, I would say you can have both ways. Why should you refrain yourself to one kind of sexual pleasure, sexual desire? I guess sexual desire is multiple. And I guess it's very interesting to see that such a major transformation from the idea that we should have unequal relations, only unequal relations spur desire, had to a new system in which we should all be equal and an egalitarian. I guess this is
because, and at the core was like kind of normative sex, and at the edge was sexual fringe. But my question is, why, how was it that S&M, sadomasochism, got accepted while some of these other things on the sexual fringe did not?
Now, I guess it's an interesting question. I would say that S&M is not, into the general perspective. So I'm always surprised that, for example, if you talk about the gay and lesbian community, you have this very long list of GLBTQQI or whatever you have, homosexuals, intersexuals, and queering and questioning people also included, but the sadomasochists are never mentioned in this this acronym line.
That's right.
But I guess they, and I guess how they try to save themselves is to say, well, we are adults who have consensual relationships, and it's not about power, but it's about consenting to this kind of play.
It is about
they
power.
Very much framed it
it's
as
playing.
Being consensual and being playful.
It's and playing
today,
power.
And I guess it's not touching upon this poor little children, you know?
So there's a demarcation.
I wonder how it's, what's why it's still not so much demonized, yeah.
Yeah, because
it's not touching upon this poor little children, you know?
So there's a demarcation.
I wonder how it's, what's why it's still not so much demonized, yeah.
Yeah, because
this defense lines, which I find very uninteresting, these defense lines, to be honest.
Because the sex wars in the 80s and 90s, right? Sex wars among the feminist groups
in
the U.S., they came down on pedophilia, but they supported S&M in the end.
But also, there were also people opposed to S&M at that time, but I don't
for
think
sure.
It's... I guess it was also very clear that it's my scandal that had talking about this children's sexuality, you're touching a sore nerve in our cultures.
Are there any census data on gay people living together in the Netherlands? Is that a large percentage?
Well, they have census data. Well, they're not completely reliable, but they will say that 5% of the men is gay, and I guess a little bit less, 4%, so it's coming closer because the number of lesbians has gone up in the Netherlands, but it will be 4%. And then you have the question, how many people are living together? I would say that it's probably half of them or something along those lines. So I guess it must be several hundred thousand in the Netherlands.
Oh.
And there's very few of them are married. So I've once made a count, but I forgot the exact numbers of the count, but I guess it must be 100,000 or 200,000 gay and lesbian couples, and only 15,000 of them are married.
It's possible to marry in the Netherlands?
Yeah, it's possible to marry, and you have, I would say, more or less complete equality.
Is that, what do you think of that? Do you there are some people in the U.S. Who argue that it's just copying straight society, this whole idea
also,
of marriage.
I guess it's indeed a little bit of a copy of straight society. I'm always saying, I guess it's better for the straights to copy the gay sexual infrastructure. But now, because we have now same-sex marriage, I will not complain about it, yeah?
Yeah.
So I guess it's because if you want to have equality, you should have also equality on the marital level.
Yeah.
No, but I don't think it's a very, no. So I guess what happened in Holland, that there's already now people, so we had once, there was a gay consumer organization who wants to have better dark rooms and sauna. They said we should more invest in this kind of sexual environment for gay men. And they organized a kind of press meeting, and they invited the press to come to these dark rooms. And of course, the press liked very much to see these dark rooms. But the end result was very negative, because I guess there were at least three major journalists who said, well, that was interesting to see it, but in fact, now we have this gay marriage. Why should this gay man still go to parks and saunas and dark rooms? So they said now you have the right to marry. You should you should have a nice little house in a suburb of Amsterdam and not not have this not go out to the saunas anymore.
So it's a monogamy kind of
normativity. A lot of young gay men. So I guess what happened in the Netherlands that because the Dutch parents are presumably so liberal and tolerant. What happens is that I guess a lot of the socialization of gays and lesbians go through, I would say, straight people. So what you will see is that, for example, a young guy, like, for example, this Danny, he will probably for the first time visit a gay bar with straight friends or perhaps his mother. So I guess, and then the mother will tell him how to look at gay people. So in the past, when I was a young guy, and your peers and your parents never should show up with you in a gay bar. So I guess the gay socialization happens very much by way of gay and lesbian people. And now the socialization goes much more by straight people. It means that they learn much too less about the gay life and much too much about how straight people look at gay people.
I guess
this has a negative influence on these young people, yeah.
Yeah, and although I think there's still this, I know that the way people in the U.S. at least, they go to personal ads or chat rooms on the web, and then they pick up somebody. So there's no really allegiance to monogamy anymore, it seems, even though they say they do. I find a lot of people say they want the one lover, but
there's
kind of serially monogamous. the monogamous,
yeah,
you know, in turn.
That's also part of it. Yeah, the internet is, of course, an important new development that happens, but what helps very much all this sexual diversity. That's a positive development. Yeah.
Right.
It's ambiguous. It's a complex situation, but it's the sexual morality, it remains, so perhaps it becomes more restrictive. Yeah. And it's also so interesting for Americans. So I guess the situation in Holland is very complicated. What you see in the Netherlands is that a lot of people, because we now have an equal rights law and we have same-sex marriage that's opened up for gay same-sex couples, what you will see in the Netherlands is that a lot of people think, well, the gay and lesbian emancipation has been completed. And there's no necessity for a gay lesbian movement, and even the COC itself said, I guess, about 5 years ago, so we could, we can still continue to work because there's still Orthodox regions in the Netherlands, or perhaps Muslims who have to be educated. But I would say all the Dutch have to be still educated on gay and lesbian culture and history and what it means to be gay or lesbian. But at the same time, we have this idea of we are at the end of gay and lesbian history. I would say it has also, at that same point, there was also, I guess, a move from the people who supported gay and lesbian emancipation from the left to the right. So Pim Fortuyn and all the people who followed him, they have been very staunch supporters of gay and lesbian rights and emancipation since the beginning of the century. And they do so, and not the, perhaps some do so also because they have some sympathy for the sufferings of some gays and lesbians. But I guess a lot of them do so because they do it out of hatred or of Islamophobia, of hatred of Muslims. Because in the Netherlands, the Muslims are very much indicated as a people who still continue to be anti-gay. Yeah? And now it's the party was always the liberals and the left people who were more supportive of gay and lesbian rights, and now it has changed to the right wing. Have the people like Verdonk, or Wilders, or Pastoors, or Fortuyn, had this bunch of
anti-immigrant
right wing people who are also not very desirous of all these Muslim people, and they use the gay issue to beat the Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a kind of reversal, and at the same time, the left, because the right has taken over the gay and lesbian issue, the left has become a little bit afraid to touch upon it, also because the left is attracting the votes of the Muslim people.
I see.
They're also leading the Muslims and their parties and so on and so forth, and they don't want to be too strong on moral issues like euthanasia or same-sex marriage. So that makes the situation very complicated in the Netherlands.
Yeah, definitely. Is there any emergence of gay Muslims in Holland?
Oh yeah, that's for sure true. Also, but they are very much beloved both by the right and the left, because they are the people who should create a bridge between the Muslims and the other population, certainly the gay side. Yeah, and there's a bunch of Muslim organizations, and I guess the major amount of money devoted to gay and lesbian emancipation by Dutch governments and cities is going towards education in schools and to Muslim gay organizations.
Do you in your teaching do you have a class on pedophilia or pederasty or?
I'm doing mostly classes that are about sexual issues. Yeah, it's about introduction to sexual studies, a social series of sexuality. But as soon as you come to Plato, and if you're going to discuss Sade and this, and it's next week on. So the philosophy, the bedroom philosophers, and now that's also about a girl of 13 or 14 who's being introduced into sex. So I guess that's it's a part of my classes. I have once had a guy coming to my class from a pedophile organization, Martijn, had to explain, also Don Neder came to explain pedophilia in my class at some point. And one of these classes, then there was a student complaining that I was promoting pedophilia in my classes, and she made a complaint to the leadership of the university. But at that point in time, so they said, the university has to discuss all kinds of topics and problems, and search the difficult topics like pedophilia. So they defended also in that case my classes.
Ah, that's good. How about what's the word for, pederasty refers to like a man and an adolescent, I guess, relationship. But what is the word for a man and a female adolescent?
The people don't think that. I would say, so a friend of mine said once that pedophilia is the word they use mostly for men with boys, and when it goes in the heterosexual side, it's mostly incest, but it's mostly taking place in the family.
Oh.
But of course, if you talk about Boutroux and all these kind of people, I would say there's of course also heterosexual pedophilia, there's also pedophilia of women with boys and girls. So I guess you have all kinds of pedophilia, of course, but I guess because of, I would say, the gay tradition and of, I would say, the support of the gay movement gave for a long time until the 80s or the beginning of the 90s to pedophile emancipation, and there is a closer link between homosexuality and pedophilia than between heterosexuality and pedophilia. But of course, it's totally mistaken that it's only at the gay side that it exists.
Right. Maybe it's the Lolita.
Although the main murderer we have known in Europe is Dutroux, this Belgian guy who murdered, I guess, about 10 years ago.
Yeah.
I guess most people, when they hear the word pedophile, they still think about a man or a boy, yeah? That's a major idea, or perhaps a girl sometime, but I would say it's still strongly linked to the homosexual version.
Yeah, maybe it's a Lolita complex, maybe that's...
Yeah, the Lolita, but I guess Lolita was written at the time, was not still so controversial, yeah. So I guess the Lolita never pops up in discussions in the Netherlands that you discuss pedophilia.
How come? Actually, it's talking about the films. It seems like in film and in the stage, it's possible to enact or play these roles without, you know, the movies that talk about you know, this kind of relationships.
Yeah.
But they don't get the fierce reaction.
Yeah, I like that.
Right. It's a bit kind of negative. Yeah.
But I liked it. It's a beautiful movie. Yeah.
I mean, there's others that show relationships across age groups or among
Betty
teenagers.
Betty Fenn is the most famous one. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's...
And you have also a bunch of, I guess, between boys and women.
Yeah. So what, like...
Soccer or something.
And also Y Tu Mama Tambien.
Yeah, I don't know this.
A Mexican film.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that's the Chinese one.
There's a Mexican one, but what's... Oh, there's a Chinese one?
Indeed, there's a Mexican one. I saw a Philippine one, which is about a 12-year-old boy.
Oh, yeah, and the policeman.
It's like a transgender who has sex, who wants to have a relationship with an older policeman.
Yeah, so that, you know, in film one can discuss this, but in real life it seems harder to talk about it.
And I guess it's a very essential topic, because I would say, if you look at the development of, I would say, of sexual cultures, but as I said before, I guess that most gay sex was pedophile sex. If you go to the, for example, the Muslim world, from Morocco to Indonesia, and if you go to Latin America, there's a lot of, I would say, sex between adults and minors at the male side.
Yeah, like William Burroughs goes to Tangiers.
And the Dutch went to Indonesia.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a scandal in Afghanistan because the Dutch are fighting in the Uruzgan.
Oh.
Which is a province, and the governor of Uruzgan, he was considered to be an opium dealer and a pedophile. So then the Dutch asked the replacement of this Jan Mohammed, because they didn't want to work together to cooperate with this well-known pedophile and a drug dealer, So I guess it's all over the Muslim world. If you go to Pakistan or Bangladesh and to Indonesia, it's a quite common thing that happens,
Yeah, I know the New York Times, when the U.S. Invaded Afghanistan, and they wrote a story after the invasion that it was that this kind of sexual practice was going back. Returning, just as the marijuana growing was returning also.
Yeah. They had not liberated Afghanistan to allow the peddlers to show up again. Yeah, I remember that one,
Yeah, so it's like, it's a historical thing, and it's hard to wipe out,
At the same time, you have a lot of, I would say, Western organizations who are very much, they presume to defend children rights, and I guess the kind of children rights they promote is very much that children should not have sex.
Parts
of all these organizations, Transact in Holland, the Médecins Sans Frontières, there's a lot of these kind of organizations. I don't know what their precise sexual politics, but some of them are very much
it's definitely
very strong on this issue.
Yeah, it's definitely a certain agenda of these NGOs.
And they
actually is, I know I've had on the show a talk given by Josephine Ho in Taiwan, and she criticizes NGOs for the state collaboration with certain NGOs that actually have a very kind of a right-wing sexual agenda.
I'm very happy to meet this Josephine Ho. She comes in May to Amsterdam, so we have a conference with her,
And she was
curious to see her and to hear what she has to say about this topic.
Yeah, and she was another academic that was also pilloried
for her
support of these kind of sexual fringe issues.
Yeah.
Are you optimistic things will work out in this case, in your case, that you will... not have any more media attention?
So I guess the media attention has gone from negative to positive, and I'm very happy to have a debate with the mayor on this issue of sex in the city and sexual citizenship. So I guess it's but I guess the topic of the sexuality of children will remain a very difficult topic.
For sure. Well, thank you very much, Gert. I know you have to rush somewhere. So thank you very much, and I'll keep in touch.
Yeah, thank you very much also. It was a pleasure to speak to you. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was our interview with Gert Hekmer, who's embroiled in a controversy in Amsterdam over the rights of young people to have sex. This is Dan Zhang with Subversity here. The opinions expressed on the show are not necessarily those of the regions of the University of California nor the management of KUCI. Our website, kuci.org/tildeDTSANG, has links to some of his research and also the controversy over the gay boat, teen gay boat in the gay parade in Amsterdam. Links to the youngster involved, Danny Hoek Zima. This is Dan Zhang with Subversity.